Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning, Robert.
Friday's amongst us, best day of the week.
Oh, that's an early one, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, you've been
straight in there,
beating me to it the last few weeks. So anyway, you know, you've got a lot to answer for this morning.
Well, I'm happy to answer.
Yeah, well, you know, your mates in the hedge funds have been on the blower. Come on, Potts, source it out. Wall Street fix. And lo and behold, limited trading.
Well, listen, it was a volatile session for global equity market stocks. You know, buffeted by retail investors, encouraged by social media chat rooms into buying stocks that have been shorted by those hedge funds, betting that the share price would go down. Although trading platforms tried to take some of the hype and the heat out of the situation by placing restrictions on clients from buying certain stocks, which, as you quite rightly allude to, within itself creates issues of fair and open trading conditions. So it did have an effect in terms of markets. In Europe, Stock 600 erased an early 2.1% loss, closed the session up 0.1%. Airlines in Europe recovered, helped by figures from American Airlines, but also some trading activity in relation to what we've been talking about. S&P 500 was up 1%, helped by solid corporate earnings from MasterCard and Comcast, surprise drop in jobless claims. The trading activity has really been grabbing the headlines, particularly around these shorted stocks. It's been framed as this idea, as you've been talking about this morning, this idea of Main Street versus Wall Street. And the actual risk is, and perhaps it should be viewed through the lens of a variant of a classic pump and dump scheme. And I think when the music stops, retail investors could well find themselves on the wrong side of that trade. I think they need to be incredibly careful.
Yes, a lot of people are saying that you could get seriously burned if you stay in that market too long. But interesting you mentioned American Airlines there, because they were one of the stocks to benefit.
Yeah, exactly right. This is obviously a sector that's been under pressure, and people are sceptical about the speed of the recovery coming through from there. So many of these hedge funds have been looking at the sector and been suggesting there could be further weakness. The idea that these chat rooms, you know, it's as I say, you've got to be very careful, because lots of money has flowed into these sectors. The stocks have risen dramatically. If you look at GameStop, for example, I think it's up 1,000% year to date, or some incredible figures around that. BlackBerry, AMC, which is a film theatre group in the United States, has also been another stock that's been involved in this type of activity. But I think, when you need to be careful that you're not simply being drawn into a concept created actually by people just looking to raise the price dramatically, not that bothered about what it means for hedge funds in a more conceptual fashion, and will get out at a higher price than you and the shares eventually, you would expect, as often is the case, in fact almost as always is the case, will fall back to their fair value at some point.
Well, you want to have your cake and eat it, don't you? You know, because I mean, at the same time, these trading platforms have opened up sort of investing to a whole new area of people, really.
Yeah, trading platforms have been incredibly popular. Lots of people staying at home, lots of people been bought into the market that weren't there before, and they're perhaps the most vulnerable being sucked into this type of hype, this type of situation, so they need to be particularly careful. So alongside, of course, having greater access, greater transparency is incredibly important. Increasing education around the way in which markets works is also an important concept. And there's no doubt the regulators will be absolutely horrified by some of this activity that's been taking place. And I was watching CNBC last night, and Senator Warren talking about the role of the SEC and the role of some of the regulators in terms of this activity and what they should be trying to do to alleviate the problems and stop this type of market manipulation, because in ways it's nothing more than that, it has to be said.
Isn't it just a question of risk appetite?
I don't think so. I think, you know, you've got to look at the motivation behind the people encouraging investors on chat rooms to buy into these stocks and what they would benefit from that. And once you try to understand that concept, it gives you a greater idea as to potentially what the risks are involved.
You're suggesting people aren't capable of making their own decisions. I mean, it's this herd mentality. I mean, presumably when you know, it's a bit like gambling, isn't it? You take a risk and you estimate how much you can afford to lose. And if you're silly enough to bet more than you can lose, then you can't blame anyone for getting burned afterwards.
Well, investment isn't necessarily around those concepts. Investment is, in some ways, I suppose in the short term, well, maybe even long term, it's around risk and reward. That's one element to it. But a properly built portfolio revolves around greater dynamics than simply betting, it has to be said. It revolves around economic growth, it revolves around developments in society, around capital development, around infrastructure, around technological developments that drive productivity, create financial wealth over time, lead to thriving companies that will push up and lead to asset appreciation over time. And that's really what you should be buying into as an investor, as opposed to trying to trade in and out of stocks over a short period of time to make a quick gain.
Yeah, but people will always be tempted to make a quick buck. I mean, otherwise there wouldn't be any bookies, would there?
They are, there's lots of temptations around there. Whether they're temptations people should participate in remains another question. For me, you've got to separate this speculative gambling type day trading scenarios, which some people can do well on, but many people are likely to get hurt, as opposed to building a long-term, globally diversified, properly balanced portfolio.
Talking about risk appetite, Tesla shares are falling. You've been saying they're sort of overvalued for quite some time.
Tesla shares were an incredible performer, there's no doubt about that. During the course of 2020, the shares were nearly up eightfold, we should remember. It's an incredible, it's the most valuable automotive company, current market value $800 billion. The question when it comes to Tesla, I suppose, is this a company that's simply a car manufacturer, or is it a technology company that's going to disrupt and change the way in which the world of cars and transportation and batteries and all those things will change, and that needs to happen in order to justify that valuation. Tesla shares were under a little bit of pressure yesterday, nothing dramatic, certainly in the context of that huge rise that we saw during the quarter of last year. And this was actually despite recording its first annual profit. The electric car maker earnings fell a little bit short of expectations. Operating income rose to $575 million in the fourth quarter, held a little bit back by the $267 million payout for founder Elon Musk. Full-year profit came in at $721 million. However, it made $1.5 billion from selling regulatory credits to other car makers during the course of the year. Average selling price fell 11% in the fourth quarter as the company switched to making cheaper Model 3 and Y models. Made just under its target of 500,000 cars last year, but they did say production will grow by more than 50% over the course of the next couple of years. New plants opening in likes of Texas and in Berlin. Lots of cash still on its at the company. Cash held at the end of December was $19.4 billion, giving lots of financial firepower to continue to invest. Been a good time, of course, that share price for certainly helped Elon Musk with his personal wealth, seen as the world's richest man, $206 billion.
You sound like you need a triple espresso this morning. Can you splutter out the foreign exchanges for us?
Pound against dollar. I tell you what, I have this muesli, this Rude Health muesli. It seems to take all the moisture from your mouth, so maybe I'll stop having that. Anyway, pound against the dollar coming in at 137. Euro dollar coming in at 121. You can get €1.13 for your British pound this morning.
Have a lovely weekend.
Thank you, sir.
Talk to you Monday. Hank Poston, Barclays.